Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. The Reverend Philip Krupski is preaching.
Our scripture for today is from the Gospel of Matthew in the 5th chapter. Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the word of the Lord. We join in singing hymn 667. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Text for our meditation today is the gospel reading from Matthew chapter 5, where at the end of it, Jesus said, "Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven." In the name of Jesus Christ, dear friends. A week and a half ago, on a Saturday, I was walking into a grocery store. It's late in the afternoon, got out of my truck. I noticed a young man, big guy, 6'5", brute, kind of big guy, but he was taking his 3-year-old daughter and setting her up upon his shoulders as he was getting ready to walk into the store with her. And it made me reminisce of 30 years ago when my girls were small enough to lift up on my shoulders. And without thinking too much, I just responded to him and I said, "You are blessed." And he kind of gave me this weird look. And then he and his daughter and I started walking in toward the store. His daughter must have whispered in his ear, "Dad, what did he say?" And he said to her, "Oh, he just said that I'm lucky that I'm your dad." Lucky or blessed? Do we know the difference between those two words? Lucky is a word associated with chance, that things just happen to go your way. Blessing is planned and conveyed by the blesser. I am so thankful that we are blessed and not just lucky. This morning, as we relish this week of All Saints' Day, we do so with a text that is often appointed for use on All Saints' Day, the Beatitudes from Matthew chapter 5, the beginning of the great Sermon on the Mount in 5, 6, and 7. Beatitudes comes from the Latin word beatudo, which means blessedness. So it's just living in blessedness is what the Beatitudes are. And there, if you've never counted them before, there are 9 of them. 9 blessings in this particular section that Jesus teaches. But certainly as we read across the Gospels, we hear Jesus using that same phrase often, that blessed are you. So who are those who are so blessed? The list in the Beatitudes is sort of a strange one. Jesus teaches that the poor in spirit, the mourning and the meek, the hungering and the thirsting, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, the persecuted and the reviled are all those who are blessed. Half of those descriptions of people are describing those who are experiencing some bad things from life in this world. some of them directly associated with persecution. Half of that list points to God's people expressing characteristics that are not necessarily common in this world, like being peacemakers or being merciful. Yet, Jesus, speaking to this strange group of people that he describes with these nine denominators, he says, "You are blessed." He doesn't say you might be, or could be, or will become, but he says, "You are blessed. Blessed are you." Because blessing is perpetual. Blessing is continual. It's ongoing. It's our experience at every moment, leading all the way on up to eternity. So now here comes the challenge. Do you believe that? Do you believe that you are blessed? As Christians, we talk a lot about blessing. We conclude most of our services with a benediction or a blessing. And yet my experience as a pastor now for 32 years is that when I am talking with God's people, a lot of times they give off the aroma as if they don't really believe that God has blessed them. If you don't believe me on that, then I give you a simple challenge test, and maybe you can prove it by experience coming up on Thanksgiving in just a few weeks. You know, when you sit down at the table and there's always that one person who says, you know, the steam on the potatoes and the turkey is all rising, and somebody says, "Oh, wait, before we can eat, we have to go all the way around the table and everybody has to say one thing that they're thankful for, one blessing." And there's this scrambling that takes place in the room because people are trying to think about, what am I going to say? And they say, "Don't start with me, don't start with me, start with somebody else. Let me think about this for a while because I have to think about what I'm going to share." Don't start with me to talk about how God has blessed me. That's a strange place for us to be, and I'm not going to say that that only happens among pagans. That happens among God's people as well. Are we really that unblessed that we have to search for the anomaly of a blessing in order to come up with something in that moment? And when God's people are so adrift in their understanding of being blessed, the blessed of God, there are at least two things that happen. One is we become stingy and convinced that one of the biggest obstacles to Christian stewardship of time and energy and finances and all that is that God's people do not really relish the depth of the blessings that we have in Jesus. And in a state of feeling unblessed, we become stingy. And we start hoarding ourselves, hoarding the things of life for ourselves and for our families. But the second danger, and this is one that is far greater, is that when we are not confident of our blessed state, then we become wobbly in our confidence before God. And let something bad come along, and it will. Life teaches us that, right? There's bad stuff that comes along in life. If we are wobbly in our confidence of God's blessing, then we will start calling into question whether God really loves us enough, though we have the confidence of the cross. We're saying, "I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I'm blessed. It's hard for me to count my blessings." And we start questioning whether or not God is paying attention to the specifics of our own lives. In our text for this morning in the Beatitudes, Jesus pulls the state of blessedness outside of the momentary experience and anchors it again to the life that he came into this world to establish. Through his payment on the cross, our sins are forgiven, and we are blessed to be wrapped in that robe of righteousness that is constant. It's not like one day I'm living forgiven and another day I'm not forgiven. Because of the cross, we are always forgiven in Jesus Christ. And through his resurrection, he has conquered the worst enemy of all, which is death itself. We are blessed to be a people that will live forever, wrapped in that life of Christ. We need to be so confident of those words of Jesus in John chapter 14, where he said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever lives and believes in me will by no means die forever." Do you believe that? That's the state of blessedness that we have. And we are blessed then to be alive. Not blessed to be alive like the world interprets that, to say, well, the challenge of my day is to fill up my activities with as many stimulating things as I can cram into my life, into my kids' life, in order to kind of prove that life is worth something. We don't live by the motto or the confession that says, "You only live once." Oh, I hate those words. We are blessed. We live forever. And all of this is constant. Blessed are we, no matter the circumstances. St. Paul captured that confidence in those well-known words of Romans chapter 8, when he said, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" And then he starts listing all the things that he could think of in his mind and in his heart, the things that challenged him or challenged any of the believers with whom he was sharing life. Said, "What shall separate us? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword?" That's a pretty profound list. He said, "As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered." Then he says, "No, in all of these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus." So Jesus says to all of us, no matter who we are, no matter what we are experiencing, you are blessed. Yours is the kingdom of heaven. You shall be comforted. You will inherit the earth. You will be satisfied. You will receive mercy. You will see God. You will be called sons of God. And the future promise of all those "you will be" statements means that we now live in a constant present state of blessedness. And when we understand that, we understand that blessing we have as God's people. So in the application of that, in this week of All Saints, we aren't lamenting the death of family and friends. We are rejoicing in their blessedness of being in the presence of Christ Jesus as he has promised. In our lives, as we face setback and disaster, we aren't lamenting that life is not meeting our expectations, but we are celebrating that life has a very solid single purpose, and that is that we use every moment to bear witness to our life in Jesus Christ. So come what may, with COVID or TP shortages or society getting more blatantly anti-Christian, Or come even those moments where, yes, we in ourselves can identify that yet, once again, we have fallen short of the glory of God through our own sin. When all of these bleak things come along, we don't just fight them off trying to be positive. We stand up to them, knowing that we are blessed, constantly blessed, eternally blessed, blessed in Jesus, blessed in His forgiveness, blessed in His life, blessed in His unfailing love. So Jesus says to all of us, and we respond in our hearts, rejoice and be glad, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, may it guard and keep our hearts and our minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.